before our oldest son Dominic was born, our Alina's OB recommended us take a childbirth class. I think that's a common thing. It should be. It was a very productive class. Learned a lot of things. But one of the things, a little later on, I think there were about a dozen people in the class, and so we talked about a lot of different things about pregnancy, about the birth experience. You know, details I'm not going to go into on Sunday morning. But one of the things they did in the childbirth class was that the teacher gave all the would-be moms an ice cube. I don't know if any of you have done this before. So they gave them an ice cube in order to hold, to replicate the pain of a contraction during childbirth. And so I'm gonna do that right now. I don't know. I don't think this comes close to really what she experienced in that. But you know, you gotta start somewhere, I guess. I think when we talk about the birth of Jesus, most of the time we're holding an ice cube. Most of the time, we're not really contemplating the depth and breadth of what took place at that day so many years ago when God became human in Jesus Christ. All the way human. All the way human. There was no remainder. So I want to play a short video from Saturday Night Live last week that kind of puts the nativity in a more comical light. Let's see if it works.
Okay. You've done something extraordinary, and now Mary really must rest. Huh, I wonder who that could be.
Well, whoever it is, tell them to leave.
What?
Well, I don't know about you, Joseph, but I'm just not in the mood to have people over right now. I've just had a baby in a barn.
I understand.
There's a humanity to this video, no matter the humor. It humanizes Mary in a way that rarely takes place. That Mary had a baby in a barn. that's crazy. And it should be crazy. This should not be a normal thing. We keep often Mary in the barn pristine, very clean. We cling to our ice cubes, thinking we can understand what is going on at Christmas. I wonder. Okay, you want to just turn the, yeah, my mic's off. I think it's the computer. There we go. Yay! But we cling to our ice cubes. We cling to them, and we think, oh, we'll just hold it a little longer, and we really get what's going on at Christmas. And we pat ourselves on the back afterwards, like, look how long I held this ice cube. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. There was an early Christian heresy called docetism. You don't have to remember it. There's not going to be a quiz. And it comes from the Greek word dokein, which means to seem. And so what the docetists thought is that Jesus wasn't really all the way human. He just kind of looked human. He seemed human. The docetists, they thought his humanness would make Jesus too dirty. They thought his humanness would make him too not godlike enough. And against this, early church leaders like Athanasius of Alexandria wrote that the docetists were not only not biblical, but that the God whom they described could not do the things that Jesus says he did. Adocetus Jesus couldn't wash the disciples' feet because he's not really a human, right? Adocetus Jesus couldn't eat fish, which is, he happens a lot. It's a funny thing. Jesus eats a lot of fish. That's what happens when you live by a lake. But Adocetus Jesus wouldn't be held by the woman who comes to him and says, Lord, I will not let you go until you forgive me, until you heal my child. But more than this, Adocetus Jesus could not save us. God does not come as this ghost man, demigod. That's what it is. God doesn't come as this ghost man descending like that. God put on our flesh in Jesus Christ so that the separation of sin would not triumph. So that the separation between us and God would not have the final word. Creation would not break according to the whims of some tyrannical deity that just comes down at a whim, but would be redeemed through Christ's victory. Christmas is about a gift so great that it staggers us. It should stagger us. A sacrifice so great that it numbs us. And so often we cling to these ice cubes because they're manageable. It's manageable, right? Just to hold on to something for a little bit and think we're really sacrificing ourselves. To hold on to something for a little bit and think that we really understand what's going on. And so often we cling to our pristine mangers and our creches because they're consumable and they're easy to handle and they're easy to deal with. Yet a sterile Christmas clinging to ice cubes does not need an Advent. For this kind of clean and pristine Christmas, we don't really need to prepare for it, right? You just kind of get it out and it's ready. Why do we have these 4 weeks of Advent if what happened on Christmas Day was something that's so simple that we can just handle, right? We need to prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to confront this incredible miracle. This event that is not normal. Adocetus Christmas is not much of a miracle at all. Instead, something more is going on at Christmas. As my friend and scholar Brian Bantam writes, playing off the beginning of the Gospel of John where it says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. He writes, in the incarnation, the Word is uttered as a body, a life that eats and speaks and laughs and mourns. But it was also a body that was subject to a violent empire. It was a male body in a society that diminished women's bodies. It was a body in a society that was fraught with ethnic divisions that had economic and social implications. His body was God's word to the individuals in those systems and a word to the systems themselves. Jesus' life was the restoration of God's image in us. The incarnation is more than the birth of a person who will die. We have to always remember this, that the incarnation is more than just this setting up of a story that, okay, Jesus is born and he's going to die and that's it and we're good and we have this punch card to get out of jail free. There's more going on. There's more going on with God. Jesus' life instead shows us just how central our bodies, our physical bodies, are to us being made in the image of God. How central our bodies are to being able to love God and to love one another. How God comes to us matters. We should not be indifferent to this. How God comes to us matters. If we think that God came only as a spirit, then the way we abuse our bodies and other people's bodies does not stand up. It's okay. The Docetist views allows for these structures of oppression to remain in place, because our flesh has not been sanctified and repurposed in Jesus Christ. Adocetus Jesus comes to save the Pharisee and not the leper. Adocetus Jesus comes to save the righteous and not the unrighteous, the clean who already have it together. For the Docetist, all the murk and mire of existence is not redeemed, just the clean stuff. So if you are dirty, if you are oppressed, if society says that you're a criminal based on the color of your skin or where you are from, these structures aren't affected by that kind of Jesus. Yet in the murk and mire of the Bethlehem barn, we see something different taking place. God does not come just as a spirit. God does not come on a big chariot. God doesn't even come with a sword of flame. Instead, God comes as the weakest among us, a helpless child who needs a mother and a father. God needed Mary. God needed Joseph for the incarnation to be true. Mary said yes to God. When the angel Gabriel came to her and frightened her, she did not run as all of us would do. She did not run. She said yes to God. And her yes to God begins a new story. God did not use Mary against her will. Mary faced something deeply frightening and she said yes to God. Joseph faced something deeply frightening. And he said yes to God. And he trusted. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in Mary. How God comes shows our Lord's tremendous respect for our freedom. God does not act against our wishes. God doesn't wave a magic wand in heaven. We are truly free in God. We are not slaves. The life of sin, instead, is the life of slavery. In sin, we are trapped by our desires. In sin, all we can do is our desires. We're limited by that. It's like this morning when someone talked about how hard it is to get up on a really cold morning. And how all you want to do is sleep in. Is that real freedom? Is that real freedom, just succumbing to the desire just to put the covers over your head and pretend it's not cold outside? That doesn't sound like freedom to me. God gives us something else. God gives us something else. In that sin, again, we are trapped by our desires. All we can do is our desires. We are trapped by self-satisfaction and self-regard. We are trapped by the structures of abuse and oppression around us. Yet Mary said yes to God. And God became flesh in Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the hymn "In the Bleak Midwinter." And that's by a poet, English poet named Christina Rossetti. It's one of my favorite poems and hymns, and I'm always really excited. I wish I could sing it every day. I kind of do sing it every day. The words connect winter in England, the starkness of the scene of this frigid winter, with the amazing miracle of Christmas. The second verse kind of dramatically describes the cosmic scale of what goes on at Christmas. She writes, "Our God at heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign." So we have this big, giant picture of what's going on. Heaven cannot hold him. We see here the kingship of Christ, the majesty of Christ. But God does not come in this sort of majesty. In the kind of majesty that would make sense to Herod, who is the king in Judea at that time, or to Augustus Caesar. In the next verse, Rossetti goes on, "Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. But only his mother, in her maiden bliss, worshipped the beloved with a kiss." Here we are able to connect the poet with the simplicity of the Mother of God, with the simplicity of Mary. That there may be angels out there celebrating, there may be heaven and earth being shaken by this, but it is a moment so intimate that worship begins with the kiss of a real mother. A real mother who gave birth to a baby in a barn in this radical place because she said yes to an angel, which is so frightening and hard to comprehend. But she said yes to an angel. She said yes to God. And she worshiped God in that simplicity. God came to us in the simplicity of a child. God was born to a woman. God was born vulnerable and needy. The choirs of angels may have sung, the kings may have come, but God came as a child to Mary. The final verse brings it all back to us. "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart." We're always tempted to sanitize the birth of Jesus. We leave it in the past. We leave it in the realms of mythology. We leave it in the realms of kings of ancient history. We are always tempted to diminish the miracle because in so doing, we diminish our own response to respond to what is going on. But let us not be so diminished this day. God with us, Emmanuel, is coming. God with us shall entirely be with us. The entire depth of human experience, the emotion, the fear, the worry, the sickness, the pain, shall be open to our Creator. For you, for me, this day, what that means is that there is not one inch of our life that is too dark or too dirty, too murky or too lonely for our Lord. He comes to set all of us free. Not just the clean, not just those who have it together. Not just those who have ready for company to come over. Not just those of us who have our Christmas decorations or our Christmas shopping done. God is coming for all of us. And not just for our minds, but for our bodies. Not just freedom in the future, but freedom now. So let us respond in freedom. Let us respond. Let us not hold back. Let us not be ashamed of the good news that our God is with us, that we are not alone. Let us not be ashamed that God stands with us, in all of us, in all of the dirt, in all of the glory. Let us not keep this to ourselves. Let us not put this miracle under a bushel. Let us not think we have nothing to offer our Lord. And let us not think that our Lord has nothing to offer this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.